John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, while meditating peacefully, a listener becomes terrified as something interrupts the moment. A childhood dare has lasting consequences for a listener. A dire message is given via a ghostly reflection in the glass. And a little old lady wreaks havoc on a family that has just moved into her former home. Is the old lady dead or alive?
She's dead.
Okay, those stories. Your calls and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Happy post-Valentine's Day, everyone. Hope you all had a lovely occasion and enjoyed some chocolate delicacies.
Yes, the heart-shaped box of chocolates. What is it Harp calls it? A heart-shaped present of candy.
Heart-shaped bypass? I don't know. She always has like very strange ways to describe everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not today. Is it going to be going on this day?
This day.
There's always just, it's very, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not usually like nonsense. Like, why? It's like, that's a different way of putting it. So, anywho, happy post-Valentine's Day to everyone. So we had an interesting experience earlier, and I guess this is a first for me as far as an experience that we have described on the show quite frequently. And it really is, I guess, pretty much exactly as I would have guessed it would be. We were wandering around an antique store that we frequent quite often. And right as we were leaving, there was a little area with various knickknacks. It's an antique store. It's a booth.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the sudden scent, a very distinct scent. And when you smell this, if you've ever smelled this, you know this scent of pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
And it was smelled as if it was fresh, as if there was someone there smoking it. Now, here's the thing. If you sit there and you do this forever in your home, your furniture, your belongings will begin to smell like this.
Mm-hmm.
So my first reaction was, God, one of these items around here was in a house that had a ton of tobacco in it or a pipe smoker, because it was just that strong, and it was strong. And I looked around, like there's a big rug and there was some other, I thought, well, maybe it's the rug. You know,
sure. And I was looking around for people, and we were probably the only people on this side
yeah.
of the store.
There was nobody else in that area at that moment in time. So I was not thinking anything paranormal whatsoever. I was just thinking, yeah, well, you want these, some whoever buys that item is going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked down to the end of the aisle, turn around, come back right past where we just were. No one else there. That smell is gone.
Yeah.
Completely gone. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm used to it, because we're talking the course of, I don't know, 15, 30 seconds
mm-hmm.
between initial smell, getting to the end of the aisle and turning back around. We're fast antique shoppers. And it was like, where'd that smell go? I mean, if it was an item that uh-huh. was emanating that smell, it ain't going away no matter what you do. That'd be like one of those things. It'd be like the Seinfeld episode with the BO. You're mm-hmm. never going to get it out. It is permeated into the object. No one around. No object is smelling anymore. After about 15, 30 seconds in the antique store, I have to believe that we smelled a ghost.
Yeah, we did.
That was, I don't know. And there's a difference. There's a difference between that smell
mm-hmm.
when it's on something, when it's like on a rug, or when it's old. If it's permeated into an object,
mm-hmm.
versus someone who's actively puffing away on their thing,
right?
And had the active puff away smell.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. What? You're looking at me like oh, you finally had something spooky happen to you.
No, I just thought it was funny how you paced back and forth looking around. You're like, where did it go? Where did it go? And you're kind of, and I'm just kind of giggling because I even know which item it was.
Really? What?
It was that old workbench chair.
Uh-huh.
The really old worn in one.
Yeah. Can we get it?
No, we can't get it.
Can we get it and put it in the office here?
Only if you want the old guy that smokes a pipe that comes with it.
I could use some company in here during the day sometimes.
It's weird because I knew exactly which item it was.
How did you know?
I just got a feeling, and that's why I was like, that's a neat chair. You know, kind of compliment it and move mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, it was. I went and touched the chair.
Yeah, you touched it. I didn't touch it. Do you see me not touch
it? I rubbed myself all over it, right. Actually.
You
I rubbed my...
Sat. You gave that poor old ghost a lap dance.
Someone can hashtag that one and tweet it. You gave that poor old ghost a lap dance. Shit, Jenny Brewski says. Someone has started hashtagging your
oh,
things.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I was the other day I was reading someone. I was thoroughly amused.
Oh, no.
I don't remember what it was, but it was funny. It was...
Great.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's a sentence you thought you'd never hear. Jesse writes in, hello, I'm writing to you today because I feel like I may have a dark creature being something is following me. I grew up in a very religious family and recently broke off on my own to find my own way in the world. When I was maybe 13, I decided I was going to try to meditate. This is the one and only time that I ever tried it and will never try it again. I sat cross-legged next to a tree in my front yard. I remember the sun was warm and the breeze was soft on my face. Put my hands on my knees like you see the monks do in the movies. Palms up with my middle finger and thumb touching them, closed my eyes. I began slowly breathing, and in my mind, I took a broom and swept everything away, just like sweeping a floor. Soon my mind was completely blank, and all I was aware of was the sun and breeze. I felt as though I was just floating in a pool of warm water. Not exactly sure where I went in those moments of meditation or how long I was even there, but I remember snapping back to reality in a prison of my body. Something was wrong. Something was very wrong. I was completely aware of my body, but I could not move, speak, or even open my eyes. And to my horror, there was a hand on the small of my back. I remember telling myself, move, move, you have to move. But I just couldn't. To further my horror, the hand began to move up my spine. I was frozen. My breath no longer slow, deep, and smooth. I was quick with panic. As the hand slid up my spine and reached between my shoulder blades, I was beyond mortified, stuck in my own mind and body with something evil about to reach my neck. The hand slid up my neck and began to move over my skull as if it was reaching for the top of my head. The breeze was the only thing moving my hair, but I swear I could feel the fingers slide up the back of my head and over the top of my head. There's no real replacement, the word fear, that I can come up with that will explain how I felt as the hand reached over my forehead, letting the fingers hover without touching for only a moment. My skin broke out in goosebumps, and I remember being cold, just as I knew the fingers were going to clamp down onto my forehead and face with a pressure that would surely kill me. My mother's voice shattered whatever vice had me paralyzed. She yelled, "What are you doing?" I'm not sure what I told her, but she told me to come into the house. I did as I was told. This is when the weird things began to happen. Dreams about being possessed and seesawing with the devil. Having abilities I didn't want. The strange thing about these dreams is when I would wake up, I could swear there was a shadow just beyond my peripheral vision following me wherever I went. This feeling would sometimes last all day. I don't recall a lot of my childhood due to an accident I was in when I first moved to town I currently live in. I sustained some brain damage, which makes most of my childhood fuzzy at best, but I'll never forget that day. The day that the thing almost had me. It doesn't haunt me every day, but now, but it's still there. I can feel it, like a storm coming in the wind. I've had many dreams up until now. I'm 33, and many mornings there it is, just beyond my sight, just standing here. Like he's waiting for something. What I don't know. I've experienced many things since that day, but these will be for another day. I hope you may have an idea of what it is and how to make him go away. I'm tired of his company and would like to feel alone when I am alone. Thank you for listening. I'll write more comments in life as they come to me. Thank you again for hearing my story. Jesse.
As far as what it is and why it's attached to you, I don't know. But as you were reading that, I was thinking, you know, I've only tried meditating a couple times because it doesn't work for me. I can't shut the craziness in my mind off enough to do it. But I wonder if when you are in between, you know, your normal state and then that meditative state, you're kind of in between, like when you're between awake and asleep. I wonder if that makes you more prone to paranormal things happening, almost like sleep paralysis, but for meditation.
Meditative paralysis.
I don't know.
We've invented something new.
Well, we've had a few stories of people having experiences while meditating, and I'm not going to say don't meditate.
Sure.
Just as if I wouldn't say, you know, to avoid sleep paralysis, don't sleep.
That's the devil's work. Don't sleep or meditate.
Yeah, that's not going to work. But I'm wondering if there's some kind of link there between the changing of your mental states.
I would think it would, you know, you may be opening yourself into different frequencies and things of that nature, or being able to pick up on them, if you will. As far as who or what or why, I don't know. Kindly ask it to leave.
Say,
I'm sorry. You're not welcome here anymore. I don't know. I mean, that's really, it's a difficult one to say as far as trying to get something like that to go away. Honestly, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's all that super nice. I mean, I don't know. I don't get like a super positive vibe here. Like it's, you know, the old dead uncle or something, you know, wandering around and trying to help. I mean, that is what you could attempt. Try not to give it recognition is usually a good thing as well. Things like that goes well beyond just asking it to do something. So, you know, you may also want to consult with any, you know, I know at the beginning he mentioned, you know, religious beliefs and this and that and his own way. So whatever you find to be your way of your belief system, that may be another avenue to explore in trying to make this change. So there's our advice. Hope that helped. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Or he could torture the thing by playing lots of really bad 80s Europop. Nothing can survive that.
Okay.
That's my answer. 80s Europop. Anonymous writes in, I was around 7 or 8 when this started. I lived next to an old house which had a sign that read, "For sale." It was an old, dirty-looking house, not like all the other houses. There was never a car there. We never saw anyone go near it. So I was playing with my friends. In my street, we saw that house. House number 17. My friends thought it would be fun if we knocked on the door. I warned them no, but my eldest friend didn't listen and knocked on the door. No one came out, obviously. But after my friend knocked on that door, very strange things happened. That night when I was in bed, my bedroom, you see, was the closest to number 17. So basically right next to it. I heard a knocking sound on the wall where number 17's wall was behind it. I was young and I started to get scared. I didn't do anything. I just stayed in my bed and didn't dare to move. The knocking got louder and louder. I told my parents what happened the next day, and I told them I wanted to move to another house. So anyway, the knocking stopped when I was about 12. At that age, some people moved into number 17, and there was never a knock on my bedroom wall since that. I still find it strange that the knocking stopped when people moved into the house.
I think that's a dare that he's going to regret.
I was waiting for it to be like, and they knocked on the door, and then the house suddenly had a mouth, and eyes lit up in the corner windows, and its tongue rolled out, and it was a giant carpet, and it grabbed my friend, and it sucked him into the house.
That's Monster House.
Exactly. That is Monster House. I would imagine, you know, sometimes when there's no one there, it's free rule of the entities. And I think sometimes they don't necessarily want people around. It may be living in peace for them when no one else is there. And when people come in, they have to go find another place to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because in life, I enjoy being by myself away from like a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a super social person when it comes to like physically interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
However, in death, if I'm a ghost, I'm probably going to want to be around people. It's one of those weird oxymorons.
It is weird.
Where, well, it's because I want to screw with them, mm-hmm. because I have a free pass to do whatever I want. That's really, if I had a free pass to just screw with people in life, that'd be a whole different thing. But unfortunately, there's laws.
Yeah.
In death, though, sorry. yes. There's going to be so many times our family goes back and references these shows going, what the hell is he doing now? Oh my God, he threatened to do that all these years ago. Why is the cat stuck on the ceiling? Listener writes it, I'm not leaving my name out of worry that someone could figure out who I supposedly saw, since this person was somewhat well known when alive, or I might accidentally dox my best friend of many years by telling the story. I hope you will share it anyway. I'm a young lawyer from the Midwest. Given my career, I'm logical and like research. I'm not sensitive, but something happened when I was 17 that I can never explain. I need to give a bit of background. My best friend immigrated from an unstable Muslim country as a preschooler. However, her dad continued to support pro-Western politicians in their original country and even had pretty direct government involvement around the time my supposed sighting happened. This meant that my friend's family was close, personally and politically, to a leader in that country. My friend's dad often traveled back and forth between here and this other country, and my friend worried for him. Anyway, one day, I was at work at this coffee place. I just locked the front door, and my boss was in the back working on a big catering order. I put some espresso away to chill for blended drinks, then paused and put my hand, I had burned it earlier, against the cold glass door. And I saw someone in the reflection. It was as solid as you or I, and I knew who it was. It was one of the VIPs from my friend's original country. I knew who this person was because I had seen photos of her with my friend's family, and this person also occasionally made the news. The figure also wore a distinctive piece of clothing that was kind of her signature. I was just thinking that maybe she was visiting my friend or stopping in on her way to a speaking engagement and resolved to treat her like any customer when I noticed two things. One, the door was locked, and my boss would have said if anyone came through the back. And two, she was bleeding like crazy from a head wound. I didn't want to turn around. I didn't feel dread, but a lot of fear all at once. I froze and didn't acknowledge her. She stared at me in the reflection and started speaking. I was confused since I knew she could speak English, but she was instead speaking in her native tongue. Luckily, from spending a lot of time at my friend's house and watching some foreign movies, I could catch some words. I figured out dad, okay, call, and my friend's name. Still not turning around, I met this figure's eyes and managed to mangle that language into some approximation of, it's my friend's dad, okay? She should call him. The woman nodded and just vanished instantly. I blinked and she was gone. I immediately called my friend and told her to call her dad, which she did. Her dad was okay, but really shaken up. There had been an attack on the top leader's motorcade. And as a friend and political ally, he had been in the procession as well. We're still figuring things out, but when the news came out the next day, I almost screamed. There in print
was a photo of the lady I had seen. She even had the same clothes on. She died violently and was in the hospital for a few hours before slipping away and had left behind her husband and children. If it was her, I think she wanted to make sure that another parent didn't die and leave their children behind. I'm sorry I'm not being very specific about who this person was, but as I said, she was famous and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy nut or accidentally identify anyone.
I think that's really interesting that of all the people to contact, that they came to this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead of maybe going to the best friend directly or, you know, somebody in her family, that she went the ghost to this person.
Maybe, I mean, there was some knowledge there with a person that showed up, that showing up to the friend whose dad was over there would have been too scarring of an experience, too disturbing, and would have done more damage than good. Maybe make her freak out immediately, thinking, oh my God, my dad's dead. And having a person that normally comes in comfort and friendship to deliver a message of, hey, call your dad.
Sure.
Rather than startling. Maybe that was just the mindset.
That makes sense.
That was going on with the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, very interesting. I mean, again, showing, you know, there really is no bounds here geographically where a ghost can show up to and from.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Concorde no longer in service, they can still travel very fast. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I wonder if we'll ever see another Concorde again. I thought I read something the other day about some airline working on creating a, not the Concorde, but a new transatlantic type airplane or aircraft that was not similar in nature, but, you know, as far as speed goes.
I don't know. I hadn't heard about that, but with all the, you know, trying to travel and into space and everything, I would think that they would be considering doing something like that too.
Would you literally get up into space and come back down really quick?
No, I'm just saying that they're making all kinds of new aircraft to go into space.
Sure.
So they're looking at new different types of technology. I would think that it wouldn't be hard to make that leap over to something to use in a Concorde-like fashion.
Sure. It would be interesting. It's interesting just to think of that. I mean, just because that was such a common mode of transportation, expensive mode of transportation for quite some time, and to be in a world where it almost like went backwards as far, like, I think a lot of us thought as those things existed, like, oh, wow, it's amazing. Look how fast they can go. I think a lot of people thought all airplanes were going to be the Concorde someday. Like, this is just going to be the new mode of transportation. And then there was the accident that happened several years back, and then eventually they all got phased out. But it's interesting that never progressed, or there wasn't any sort of way of making them safer. You know, maybe I'm incorrect. Maybe there was a way of making it safer, but maybe cost of it just was not efficient with fuel costs and all that at the time when it was much higher. I mean, obviously, we're living in a moment where fuel costs have gone nice and low, but that, I'm sure, will not last forever.
No.
So Misha writes in, I just listened to your podcast about seeing a female shadow person and wanted to share something that happened to my husband and I 2 years ago. My husband, myself, and our two children arrived home around 9 p.m. after an out-of-town visit with family. That night was both a Canadian holiday weekend during which many people lit firecrackers. It was also the anniversary of the burning of our town's original settlement more than 100 years ago by the Americans. We happen to live about a five-minute walk from the actual settlement, so the four of us arrive home, and when we walk into the front of the house, I notice that the air is charged, almost pixelated with some sort of energy. It was just a quick observation, and I was so busy trying to get my boys into their pajamas, etc., that I didn't think much of my observation. As I was coming out of my eldest son's room, I saw a small dark shadow person run down the hall from our living room, past me, and into my bedroom. It happened so quickly, I thought it was my younger son. Went into my bedroom and quickly looked and saw nothing. No, neither son was in my room. In fact, as I exited my bedroom, I saw my youngest son coming out of his room. So at this moment, I had my back to my bedroom door and was facing the doors to my boys' rooms and could see or know that each was in their rooms. Suddenly, the same small shadow figure ran past me from my room down the living room hall. I should add, these figures appeared out of the corner of my eye, so it was a distraction rather than something I was focusing on. I continued to get my kids into their beds and said goodnight. I then walked downstairs to the basement and stuck my head in my husband's workshop. The workshop's door opens to the bottom of the stairs, so you can see someone come down the stairs if you look. I said to my husband, "Did you notice anything funny going on in the house?" He says, "Yes, someone's in the house," and then goes on to tell me that three times a shadowy figure has run by his workshop. Of course, I freak out and immediately run to the kitchen, light incense, and try to smoke out the spirit. I don't know what I thought I was doing, just went into panic, I guess. Then my husband walks upstairs, goes outside, and realizes how loud are the firecrackers that have been going off. We'd heard the firecrackers as we were settling the kids, but it was when he, and later me, stepped outside, we realized how loud they were. "Like cannons," my husband commented. We then calmed down and assumed that the shadowy figure we had seen was likely that of a frightened child. I don't know if it was a ghost or a residual energy or what, but it seemed to be triggered as a result of the firecracker's cannon-like noise, plus the fact that it was the actual anniversary of the burning of the town settlement. The figure we saw was the size of a small child. Just thought I'd pass this information on. We've had holidays since that time that involved loud firecrackers, but haven't noticed any paranormal activity, so I'll attribute the experience as related to the 1814 burning anniversary.
I think that it's a scared little kid.
Yeah.
Just running around from, you know, the firecrackers, and maybe it had something to do with them being so loud, because they talked about how it sounded like cannons, and maybe that really stirred it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, though, I mean, is it... Because she brought up, is it a residual energy? Is it, a scared little kid, like literally a conscious energy? I think it could almost go either way. Did she mention how old the building was?
No, just that it was very close to the original settlement.
Okay. I suppose it doesn't necessarily even need to be the original building if there had been some other structure on that property at some point in time. I'm wondering if, it could be a conscious entity, a conscious child ghost running. And literally reacting. I was just wondering if maybe there had been another building there at that time, another level right at that area, and it was a residual energy of a child running in fear on that anniversary day.
Could be.
So I could see it going either way on that one. Great story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. MB writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. The story is about occurrences involving myself this time. I was 13 years old, and my parents are going through a divorce. My mom didn't have a lot of money, so her dad, my papa, bought us a mobile home to live in. Here's the catch. Before we bought it, we went to look at it and did a walkthrough. When we got there, the son met us outside and told us that this is his mother's home. She was quite old at the time, that he was putting her in a nursing home and decided to sell the place whether or not she liked it. When we got in there, she was sitting on her big rocking chair. I have a mental image of her in my head that I cannot forget. She was smoking a cigarette and had this angry look on her face. I could tell she wasn't too happy about us being there. We did our walk through and left. My papa was happy with the place, so we called the son a few days later to let him know that he'd like to purchase it. The son said that was fine, but that we should know that his mother had passed away the day before inside the home. He promised to clean up the whole place before we moved in, which he did. Here comes the interesting part. After we moved and settled in, things seemed to happen almost immediately in the home. It started out small. I started losing small things, such as socks, etc. My mom wrote it off as it just being misplaced by me because I was a kid. But I'd do the laundry and watch it go in the washer. After I'd fold the clothes, it'd be gone. This even happened with one of my favorite t-shirts. I started to wonder if it was the old woman who passed away there, trying to screw with me because she was mad we were there. Another thing that happened was early in the morning, I was getting ready for school. Took a shower in the morning and would dry my hair before leaving. I was standing in the bathroom talking to my mom, and I remember this like yesterday. I was brushing out my hair, set the hair dryer in the sink, unplugged. We were talking and laughing when all of a sudden the hair dryer turned on by itself and flew out of the bathroom towards my mom and hit the floor. We both just stood there in shock. Never seen a hair dryer turn on when it's not even plugged into the outlet. I got feeling right away that it had to be the old woman doing this. Soon after, we had another incident that tended to happen a lot, and this confirmed it for us that it was, in fact, the old woman. Our TV would randomly turn on, and we would physically see it turn to her favorite news channel. I believe it was CNN.
only way we know this is because she was watching it at the time we were doing our walkthrough, and the son had mentioned it. Other small things would be my closet door that would shut on its own. For some reason, I felt better with my closet door open as a kid because if it was shut, I was afraid that I wouldn't know what was in there. I think she probably could sense that, so she would do that on purpose to scare me. My sister and I shared a bunk bed. Cue the bells, Tony. Actually, someone is sending us one.
Okay.
We've had several offers, and I thank you all for the offers. I finally just picked somebody at random and said, here you go, send us the bell. So when we get the bell, I will ding a bell there. And there was one time where my sister was staying the night at her friend's house, and I felt the bed shake as if someone was getting into the bed. I slept on the top and was facing away at the time. I was way too scared to roll over and look down. When I woke up the next morning, no one was there, so I knew my sister had not come home that night. With all these encounters, we started believing it was the old woman haunting us because she was very unhappy that, number one, we were living in her home, and two, maybe she wasn't ready to leave this world. After a couple of years of this stuff, things finally calmed down and she seemed to leave us alone. My mom still lives there to this day and has not encountered any more issues since then. I'm sorry I don't remember the woman's name. This was 14 years ago. Anyway, I really do love your show. You both always make me laugh. Hope to hear this on the show, but if I don't, no big deal. Hope it's not too long. Just graduated college and I'm in the process of finding work. As soon as I do, I'm going to become an EPP. Happy New Year to you both.
I wonder if she just got fed up and went away, or if she just kind of got used to everybody and almost maybe liked them.
Eventually, it's not as exciting to scare the same people.
Yeah.
Just got to move on to other people to terrorize. That's how that works. I wonder, but maybe it is one of those things where, you know, she was very ornery, kind of pissed off that other people were in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, naturally, she was just kind of acting out, as some people will do. And that was her way of acting out. And maybe at some point, she just did kind of find peace with it and go, okay, this is a family.
Sure.
And, okay, I don't have to bother them. They are not the cause of my distress. Mm-hmm. They just happen to be the ones that are getting the brunt of it. So I could see that.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Louis Fritz. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm 26 years old. About 5 years ago, I was working for a pest control company in Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, and I was called to Shakota to do a job on a house that had fleas. She was a middle-aged woman, about 55 years old, and she had lived in that house for, say, about 15 years or so. She was not the original owner, and it was an old house, one of the oldest houses in Shakota, Oklahoma. And she walked me through the house, and it was a beautiful house, nice wood floors, which is uncommon for somebody that has as many fleas as she claimed to have. And she walked me through the house, great house, and I walked her back outside, and I was standing at my truck, and I was getting all my equipment ready. She got in her vehicle. It was early in the morning. It was probably about 8 o'clock, and she was the superintendent of a school, so she had to get gone as quick as she possibly could. As she pulled out of her driveway, she backed up where her driver's side window was, even with me, and she told me, I just wanted to let you know that the house is haunted, not to an extreme extent, but it's haunted. There is activity in the house. And that sort of sent chills down my spine. I had never sprayed a house that they told me was haunted before, and, you know, it made me a little nervous, but I was a professional, so I decided I'd go ahead and spray it, and I told her, you know, not to worry. And so I went inside, and I started to spray the house. And I went along the walls, as you normally would, spraying the baseboards and things. And I got into a certain area of the house, and it was very, very cluttered in there. But it felt a little ominous as I got towards the back wall. It just felt weird, a little heavy. I didn't feel threatened, and I wasn't scared. It didn't give me that sort of a vibe, but I went on back through the house, back out through the kitchen, and I kept working my way along the wall. And I had set a can of spray on the table, an aerosol can about 18 inches tall, about 4.5 inches around. It was a very big can. And set it on her kitchen table. It was about 8 to 10 inches towards the middle of the table, away from the counter. The table was solid and steady, and that can, there's no way it could move by itself. But I set that can on the table, and I continued working my way around her house, and I got into her bedroom. And in her bedroom, the closet light was on, and there was about a 2-inch gap at the top and the bottom of the closet. And for one reason or another, I didn't want to open that closet. And that closet shared a wall with the room that I was in that felt real heavy. It just felt dark, real ominous, and it shared the wall with that room. And I felt like there was something in that closet. And even though I was supposed to, I did not spray that closet because I didn't want to open it. I felt like I would see something, and I'm very interested in the paranormal, but I was not ready to have an encounter of any sort that day. It turned out that the ghost was ready for me to have it, or ghost, apparition, whatever you wanted to call it. It wasn't really an apparition because nothing appeared to me. But as I was spraying that room, I just finished and I was walking out, and I hear a clang come from the kitchen dining room area. And I walked back through the house, and I was standing in a den that looked into the dining room area. And the can that I had sat on the table was no longer on the table. And remember, I had said it was 8 to 10 inches towards the center of the table, and it was a very wide can, so there's no way that it could move on its own. I walked into the living room, and the can was sitting on the floor, laying on its side, not moving. And as I walked towards the can, it rolled 3 to 4 feet. It spooked me enough to where I got chills, and it was startling, to say the least, because I was not expecting that can to roll. It was not moving when I walked into the room. It was sitting perfectly still. The floor was not vibrating due to my walking, so there's no way that it could have done that. Just rolled like that. It rolled like something had pushed it or had started to roll it across the floor. And I said, stop it. Because it was scaring me. It was making me nervous. I did not like that apparition. It was just toying with me. But I didn't like seeing it do that. I said, stop. And the can stopped 3.5 feet after it started rolling. Just stopped. And I put the can myself back in the spot where it was, and just to see if it would roll, I sort of stomped around a little bit and jumped, and that can wouldn't roll. It was wood floors. Even if it did start to roll a little bit, it would only roll about the length of one floorboard, one 2x4, and then it would stop on the crack. It didn't roll by itself. I continued spraying the rest of the house and finished up, and I used that entire can on the house, and that can, it basically doesn't kill anything, but when the eggs of the fleas hatch, it makes them infertile, unable to, have any children of any kind, so they no longer reproduce. It kills the living fleas, and when the eggs hatch, it makes them infertile. But I finished up spraying the house, and I didn't have any other occurrences the rest of the time, but the next time, the following month, when I came to do a follow-up, and to spray her house again, she had a little bit more time, and she spoke to me, and she showed me pictures. She would come home late at night. She always used the back door because the front porch was unfinished, so she couldn't go through the front door. She used the back door, and the back room always just felt heavy to her. I didn't feel it when I walked in, but that doesn't matter. She said that her dog would lay in the back room and would growl at night sometimes. It wouldn't bark, it wouldn't get up, but it would just growl, like something was there. And whenever she would come into the house, oftentimes there would be bread open and either on the counter or on the floor with two pieces taken out, like somebody was going to make them a sandwich. Somebody that wasn't supposed to be there was going to make a sandwich and was startled by somebody coming home. But the bread was twist-tied before. She did this several times before leaving the house. She would close the bread, spin it around like you would, and close the twist tie as tight as, as much as she wanted to, 3 or 4 twists. And whenever she came home, the bread would be untwisted, open, two pieces out, laid on the floor. And the same thing would happen with cereal or any sort of, anything else of that matter. Anyway, it's not much, but it's about the only experience with the paranormal that I've ever had. I've been listening to your show for probably about a month now. I absolutely love it. I'm probably going to become an EPP if my wife will let me. Tony, I believe you might understand a little bit about that. I hope you have a wonderful day. Take it easy.
Any wife would want their husband to become an EPP.
Yeah, just because I tell you no on the show doesn't stop you from doing anything you want. So
I listen.
I know, but most of the time you still go ahead and do stuff. I don't think I've stopped you from doing much.
I haven't done a whole lot of bad things.
No, you haven't.
I mean, I put up paneling all over the basement, and actually I've been begging to do that. I have this weird affinity towards like really bad 1970s paneling.
You would have loved my childhood basement. It was all paneling and then these huge space murals. I don't know why.
No, I wouldn't like them throughout the entire house, but just like in a basement. I think it reminds me of the childhood basements that I liked playing in. Mm-hmm. And that's really what that is. Anyway, now we know more about fleas. Is it fleas?
Yeah.
Fleas and their birthing process, the fertilization process.
You know what? I hadn't thought about this. You know, you're either stuck with a house if you've bought it and it's haunted, mm-hmm. or you move, you know, or if you have to go visit a family member that has a, you know, haunted house, you're there for a little while. But I never really thought about people that have to go into places as part of their job.
Sure.
You know, and that there's no out for that. It's either you do it or you know, going to get written up or lose your job. And
mm-hmm.
like, that's a whole nother aspect I hadn't thought of.
It's interesting. Actually, in a recent EPP episode, EPP 75, it was the one where we talked to the person who was on the TV show A Haunting and has the book, what's it called? Harvesting Shadows, April. She tells the story of her haunted house in Utah and all the problems that they had when they were trying to fix it up, because there was some fixing up that needed to be done, mm-hmm. and they had just this slew of contractors. They couldn't get anyone to get the jobs done because after like a day or two, like, just things would constantly go wrong, and nobody would, after it, eventually the word kind of got around to the contractor community, mm-hmm. and nobody wanted to go to the house. Like a electrician, for example, on one of the occasions went down, turned the breakers off, went up to do some electrical work, breakers turned back on.
Oh, no.
And it got to the point where, and it kept going down and doing it every mm-hmm. time. It's like, I've never seen this happen. I don't know why it's happening. It should not be happening, but it kept happening. And it got really, really bad where they couldn't get people to do just basic elemental work of the home.
Yeah.
And a lot of other horrible shit happened in it. You can hear that in the EPP 75. But yeah, that's a prime example of contractors.
Sure.
and what they have to deal with these homes. So thank you for sharing that story with us. We do appreciate that. If you want to share your story, give us a buzz, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Danielle from Austin, Texas. I had called in a story previously about being stuck in my grandma's closet when I was younger and being clawed by some kind of dark entity. I think it was a demon. She'd always told us not to go into the closet. And we were playing hide and seek, and I went into the closet, and I came out scratched up with cuts and stuff. But aside from that, I have a story to tell y'all today. It's about the current ongoing in my apartment. So I live with my boyfriend, my dog, and my cat. And we have a one-bedroom. We love to collect figurines, like Dragon Ball Z figurines, Sailor Moon, just, I guess, all kinds of figurines. and we have multiple bookcases in our apartment. Now, on one occasion, I was over at my best friend's house. Both my boyfriend and I were over there, and then he left, because we live about 5 minutes away from her. He left to go home. It was about midnight, maybe, you know, 12:30, I think. And it takes about 5 minutes for him to get home. And after about 7 or 8 minutes, he calls me and he sounds so freaked out. And he's like, come home now, please. I'm trying to get more information out of him because I was having a good time and I wanted to stay. He's like, no, please come home. I'll wait for you outside. So I was like, okay, you know, I thought something was stolen, maybe the place got trashed, you know, I don't know what was going on. So I rushed home, and when I got home, she was out on the balcony. All of the lights were on. My dog and my cat were on the balcony with him, and he told me that he was getting ready for bed, brushing his teeth, and the dog and the cat were both on the balcony, and they were just hanging out there. Door was closed, he was brushing his teeth, and out of nowhere, he felt the hairs on the back of his neck stand up, and the bathroom door was slowly opening. And when he noticed, his explanation to me was when he noticed that it was slowly opening, he looked at it and it slammed open and bounced off the wall, and that instantly freaked him out. He called me and he was like, you need to get home now, you know. So I was like, okay, you know, I went through the house and I didn't feel anything dark. It did feel kind of awkward in the bathroom, but it didn't feel dark. I didn't see anything. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll clean it tomorrow. Let's go to bed. Let's, you know, sleep on it. You'll be fine. We woke up next morning and everything seemed fine. We were in the living room watching TV and my dog was snoozing next to us and the cat was, I could see her. She was in her little kennel thing. She had a little pad in there, so she was sleeping. And all of a sudden, we hear something fall in the room. Now, when we go into the room to look, we see a couple of the figurines were on the floor. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. You know, maybe they were on the edge. Maybe, I don't know, someone, we live on the third floor, maybe someone slammed their door and they kind of vibrated. I was trying to figure out exactly why that happened. And then he made a point of saying, well, look, it's a pattern. And yeah, our bookshelf was kind of dusty. When I looked, it wasn't like pushed off. It had looked as if it were picked up, moved around a little, and then like thrown on the floor. And when you pay closer attention to the trajectory, it definitely looked like something with some force had pushed it. So that was kind of weird. And, you know, we still have some stuff going on in the house. I'll call in with a few other stories about what I saw in my apartment out of the corner of my eye that's blind. And I'll leave you some more messages with that. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful day. I love the show. It's a joy listening to it at work and, you know, someone sneaking up behind me and freaking me out. I definitely love it and I recommend it to everyone I talk to who listens to the podcast. You guys keep up the good work and I'll call back later. Thank you.
It sounds like such an angry ghost, you know? It's like he purposely breaking things that they care about, you know, not just, oh, I'm kind of the klutzy ghost and I'm just going to randomly break something that doesn't really matter. You know, breaking things that they've collected.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is he so mad? You know?
Ass soul?
Yeah.
Or demon?
No, I think ass soul. I think demon would be like, no, we're not going to mess with little breaking figurines. We're going to do some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a temper tantrum.
What if the ghost knows that those little figurines have demonic entities trapped in them? And he's trying to destroy them to prevent their home from being infested with Satan.
Okay.
No, I try to just find he's probably just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really kind of what it comes down to. Just as they exist in real life, they exist as ghosts.
Yeah.
You happen to have one in your home. So there you go. That could be a new like reality. I live with an asshole ghost. Something like that, you know, and following people as they're really nice people, they're really kind, but then the ghost, like, oh my God, they came from work, look what he did today, you know, and just seeing all the horrible things. So thank you for that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories and experiences with us. You can also, of course, write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hey, Emily and Tony. This is Adam from Kentucky. I was just calling to tell you a story about what happened to us at the coal washer plant I used to work at. We was five men on our crew. We worked third shift. We were sitting in the control room waiting on time to leave for the night. There's a set of steps that comes up into the building. We all sitting there heard a slate bar and a chain drag across the floor. So we, two of us got up to go out, and there was nobody there. We seen chains moving on the wall where we hang them at for storage, but there was nobody in the building but us five. And it just kind of freaked us out. And there's numerous times you see figures just moving around in there. The building's about a six-story building, and you could go up a catwalk to the very top from the ground. And there's several times you've seen a figure standing up there, and there was no explanation of who it was. But I just figured I'd give you guys a quick shout and let you know the story. But I appreciate the podcast, and you all have a great day.
What do you think it was?
Oh, I think it was a ghost. Now, I missed it. What kind of building was it?
A six-story building.
Well, I knew a six-story building, but I didn't know what they did.
This is where I'm going to make some weird shit up.
No, don't do that.
I don't know. I did miss that part myself.
No, I was just curious.
It's a cat massage spa where you take your cats and they get a nice full body massage. Sometimes they do the stone therapy, what do they call the hot stone massages for cats. Cats love that.
You know, I think it's easy to account for everybody, obviously, when there's only five people. Mm-hmm. So if they've accounted for everybody and then there's somebody up on the catwalk.
See, cats.
Okay.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's one thing when you have a very large crew and you can kind of go, oh, well, it's you can easily account for five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it gets to be a lot, it gets much, much more difficult. So there you go. Did you intentionally say catwalk or was it just kind of
that's like, what he called it. That's what I call
it. It is what it was.
Yeah.
So there you go. Cat massage. Does that exist?
No.
You sure? Because usually when I say shit like this, and then like, does that exist? Somebody's like, hey, look.
I don't know.
You wanna place any wagers?
No.
Sure?
No.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. If you like the show, please become an EPP and help keep us on the air. Sign up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Johnny Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.